when you had this, and then you had this, the implication is that the spectrum of this guy is actually bigger than the I wrote the other way around.
What was this
now? 312. And this guy goes that way. I did write the other way around. So this is the correct. So as you...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I think you write it like that, right? So that when you go higher in the spectral order, the spectrum is smaller, the interval. And when you go lower, then the spectrum becomes larger. Otherwise, all wouldn't have made sense. Okay, so now let's actually see that. So there was a mistake in the equation. This one should be like this. I wrote it the other way around. And 12.
This lecture?
No, not 12. The last one, lecture.
Okay, it's 3.12, right?
Yes. Right, okay. So we arrived at this. Okay, so for example, now given that another example actually doesn't make sense all the time. So if you're on C4 and we consider our usual spin 2, so what is the spectral decomposition of this guy? So we need to define, without the designization for this guy. So what we're looking at are this. Okay, so now the values for the spectrum is 0, 2, and minus 2. So for all the lambdas that are less than minus 2, you get 0. Right, you don't have anything. For all the lambdas that are equal, or bigger, but they're not equal to 0, then you have a 2 here, so this is P4, yeah? It's 0, 0, 0, 1. Then for lambda equal to 0 until 2, but not equal, you have zeros here, so for sure you will have P2 plus P3, but that's not enough, because if you remember the condition of this guy's, you had that this relation implied this relation. So this one has to be bigger than this guy. And it has to be such that you put the two zeros here. So you get this. And the last one, it has to have a 2 here, and it has to be bigger than all of them. It's simply the unit. Now you generalize this, for example, and you get an SZ square. That's 4, 0, 0, 4. And the spectral decomposition of this guy, now, it doesn't have any minus, so for lambda less than 0, for lambda equal to 0 but less than 4, you have these two, b2 plus b3, and for this guy has to have a 4 here, a 4 here, and it has to be bigger than this. And you can see how this one is bigger than this guy. So what if you wanted to So now we want to see if it is the case. Which then implies that this is bigger than the normal order. So how do you define the spectral order? You say if something's bigger, so this is implied by this in the spectral order if, for all elements, the respective operators go the other way. So now we have the operators, we compare the two and see if I wrote the order in the right way. So comparison. All right, for lambda less than 2, then minus 2, well, here's this guy, there's that guy, those are the same. So in this case, it's actually the same. For minus 2, lambda 0, this guy is still 0, this one has become bigger, so now you have and 4, 0, lambda 2, this guy's in here. This guy's, and then this guy's bigger than that. So again, we get the same relation. Then now it's from 2 to 4. This is 1, and this is still this guy here. So again, we get this relation. And then anything bigger than 4. They're both unities, and in this case they're equal. So you can see how this, right? Okay, what if you want to dazimize this guy? Or you can also see. Okay, so what if you want to define this? So you have to pick a V. Well, obviously you're not going to pick the biggest V, because then this is just, you get the same. So we pick so this guy. What are these guys? So lambda less than minus 2, the inner designization of 0 is just 0. Minus 2 and 0. Now we have to pick the biggest projection operator in there, which is smaller than this guy. And the only one is 0, really. Then for here, we have to pick the biggest projection operator in here, which is smaller than this guy. And that is 2 plus 3. And then the last one. The biggest that is smaller or equal, and that's just the identity again. So you end up with don't have any minus 2s. You have zeros, and you have zeros in 2, 3. And you've got 2s in 1, 4. And now you can see how, well, this is going to be bigger than your original one. And that the spectrum of this guy is now smaller than the original one. This guy is 0, 2. Let's go minus 2, 0, 2. And then you can do also inner designization. That's an exercise. It's a little bit, it's the same thing. It's just that then you have to get the intersection of all the coarse-grained operators. Okay. So now, I want to go back and define these physical quantities, which we still haven't really defined properly. However, first, just to be complete, so we've defined both inner and outer designization of self-adjoint operators. We had done it of projection operators, and for projection operators, this inner and outer designization gave rise to this inner and outer presheaves. You get the same here. Inner and outer designization gives rise to inner and outer presheaves for self-adjoint operators. And so we have this presheave. And so this is the guy that actually, that invented them. So they're called, from his name. This is for only for self-adjoint operators. It is a presheave I mean, you can guess it. It's exactly the same as just now that we're only talking about self-adjoint operators rather than projection operators. So this now is self-adjoints, all the self-adjoint operators in V. And the maps are given by inner designization. Self-adjoint operators now. Which again. And the interesting thing is that this you can actually define in terms of the outer perchieve for projection operators. So that. Oh, we're right. That's equal. Outer perchieve for projection operators. So you can start seeing everything is intertwined. And this is actually me, sorry. And the same you get for inner perchieve. Sorry, outer. You can redo everything that we did for projection operators for self-adjoint operators. That's basically what I'm doing. So now you get, again, self-adjoint operators, and again the maps are given by outer designization. This, you can imagine, is going to be written in terms of the inner designization of projection operators. Right. And exactly like for projection operators, you get the definition of inner and outer designization as global sections. Now this is all self-adjoint operators. This and similar. I mean, the proofs of all these are exactly the same as projection operators. And also these are in projection. Exactly the same. So this guy's global element. So this is just to say that you can pretty much everything that we did with projection operators can be redone for self-adjoint operators, more just the fact that the in and out dozenizations are not defined like this. But you can reserve. Okay, so finally, what are these physical quantities? So we've defined in and out dozenization, and the reason was that when eventually we define self-adjoint operators as maps from the state space to the real numbers, or analog of the reals, such that they pick out the spectrum, we want that this spectrum behaves in such a way that as you go to smaller algebra, the interval becomes bigger and bigger. So that as you go to smaller algebra, you approximate both in terms of outer and inner dozenization. So what you get is something like this. I'm just going to write it down. Such that for each V, essentially that. And what does this guy do? It takes an element here and it gives you a pair of order reversing, order preserving functions. How does it pick them? It picks the inner dozenization function, which I'll tell you in a second, and the outer dozenization. So what exactly are these guys? Let's see one at a time. So this guy is an order preserving map which acts on V and anything below it. Map from the lower set to the reals, such that it picks some subalgebra here, and it gives you this. Forget about that. Step by step. So what is the thing that this is a map that acts on this guy? So this map is defined through this inner dozenization. So what happens is this context kind of acts on this inner dozenization, and so you get that the inner dozenization is now have to be done with respect to that context. So by applying this to here, you get now to be double prime. Why double? Sorry, it's prime. And by this, acting on this, is just restriction. This is simple lambda, restricted to a prime, acting now on this smaller operator, which is nothing but the Gelfand transform now acting. This guy is the same thing. Well, now this one has obviously gone to a smaller context. So what happens with each lambda? You get a pair of order preserving functions, and they're given in terms of inner and outer dozenization, such that you act on an algebra. You dozenize your projection of your self-adjoint operator with respect to that algebra, and this you just restricted. And this is going to give you a number. Now, if you go to smaller contexts, to show that it is actually an order preserving. So if you say you go to V double prime, then you obtain. So you restrict this guy to V double prime, so he doesn't ice it. And this is just to give a restriction. Now, because of the properties of designization, you know that this guy is smaller. So the value of the smaller guy is going to be smaller. So as you go to smaller context, you just designize, apply inner designization, and get the value of that smaller self-adjoint operator. And as you go to smaller context, because this guy becomes smaller and smaller, the value is going to be smaller. So at this end, you become smaller and smaller as you go down the context. This is going to become bigger and bigger. So what is that guy? So what is this map here? So it's an order reversing function this time, such that it gets some algebra here, and then it gives you a number, and the number it gives you is as follows. So what you do, you first apply the process of outer designization now to this context here, so this becomes larger. And then you restrict. And this is, it's kind of a little above user notation. I should put this here. Really. So this is now the Gelfand spectrum. You can also write it on my choice. Like this is a better notation. It's the same. Anyway, so what you do here is that for each subalgebra of V, where this function is defined, for each element in the spectrum of this algebra, you first generalize the projection operator, the self-adjoint operator with respect to this context, then evaluate it in terms of this element of the spectrum, and you get a number. As you go to smaller context, this guy is going to become bigger, so when you evaluate it, the number you obtain is going to become bigger. Acting on this guy doesn't as respect to this. And because of the property of designization, you know that right? So on this end, as you go to smaller and smaller contexts, because you're considering the value of a bigger and bigger self-adjoint operator, the limit point here goes bigger and bigger. So that you get what you want. You get that as you go to smaller contexts, because you generalize your self-adjoint operator more and more, both from below and from above, the interval or range of values becomes bigger and bigger. And this, we wanted it because self-adjoint operators have not just 0, 1, but have ranges of values. And we want to be able to kind of reflect these ranges in this map here. Okay, so for each self-adjoint operator, you get one of these maps, such that as you go to smaller contexts, you pick bigger and bigger intervals. So that's all good. Now, what do you do with these guys? Well, I should show. Okay. Now, in order to have this definition to be a well-defined definition, we have to show that this diagram commutes. So I told you how this works. Now, because this is a map between two presheaves, it is actually a natural transformation, right? Which I've defined to be that. However, the question, is it a good natural transformation? In particular, does it, for each context, does this diagram commute? Remember that the natural transformation had individual components, and for it to be a well-defined natural transformation, you have to show that these individual components were such that if this was the case, then this diagram would commute. Well, here's this presheaf map. So the question is, does this guy commute? We have to do it. So you go first one way, then the other, and we see if we get the same result. So we'll first go that way. I pick some lambda. From the definition, this is simply the definition of the map, so I don't remember which lecture, meant simply that you went, that you would restrict. So this just gives restriction. Remember? So this restriction. So you restrict this guy. So with sort I at a prime. Which is simply. If you go the other way, this definition, I don't remember which lecture, but this was all. This map was given by restriction. Oh, sorry, this is V prime. Doesn't make sense. This is exactly the same. So this does represent physical quantities in the way that the spectrum follows this. That condition there, as you go to smaller contexts, becomes bigger. And it is a well-defined natural transformation. So it's a well-defined object that does what we want physically. Okay, now that we have the object, how do you use it? What do you do with it? So normally when you have a physical quantity, you want to define the value of the physical quantity given a state. Right? And again, we do like in classical physics. Everything we do here tries to resemble classical physics. So in classical physics, you had this guy, which was a physical quantity, which is kind of the same. And if you had a state, then the value of this physical quantity given the state was just you applied this function to it. And you get it. Right. We want to do the same. So we have now a physical quantity that is like, is the same as in classical physics, at least how it's expressed. And now, okay, we don't have points, but we have singletons. Right? So our state, now for pure states I'm doing it. We know that the state is a subobject of a state space. So if this guy is defined over all the state space, it will be defined also on this. So that this relation here now basically becomes composition of maps. just the inclusion. And this is the area. So that now, given a state and given a quantity, the value of that quantity given a state is simply that, which is the same. Okay, so what exactly, I mean, that is just an expression, mathematical expression. We have to compute it like everything, context-wise. So you need to bundle this. You need to see what exactly this guy is for each context. So context. You compute it. So now remember that this guy here was all those elements in the spectrum, which gave value 1 to this. So this guy here, you have to compute it for each of these elements. So this is a collection of elements. This now belongs to your state. And now this is such that you get something in here and you pick out that. And you do, I mean, this is exactly the same as we did before. So, and you obtain the value of this quantity given the state, in the sense that this guy being here will give value 1 if there is a projection operator in the spectral decomposition of this guy, which is implied by this, and value 0 otherwise, and the same for here. Anyway, we'll give an example of this later. But for now, first I want to show that this is a well-defined map, in the sense that this guy is really a sub-object of this guy. Then we'll compute for specific A's and specific sides. So how do you show that this is actually the case? Want to show that is indeed a subobject. The first thing is that for each context, this thing has to be a subset of that thing for that context. Now this guy here is a collection of all order reversing and order preserving function, one for each element in the state. So this guy here, if you want to write it down, you could write it as a collection for all lambda. And these are basically pairs of order reversing order preserving functions. So it is true that this is subset of this guy. Because this order reversing order preserving function acting on V, the collection of them, one for each element in here, so it is a subset. So the first condition is good. The second, you have to show that if this is indeed a subobject of that, then as you go to smaller contexts, the order reversing order preserving functions that you would pick would be this, would be given in terms of the Presheaf maps. So this moves to smaller contexts and it does so following the Presheaf maps. What I'm saying is that if this is a well-defined sub-object, it means that for all that we obtain, goes to in the same way as this guy goes down. Hence this meaning that this guy should go. So it would just be the restriction of this map to a subobject. Thing here was condition number. So if this is a well-defined sub-Presheaf, the Presheaf map should act on here by restriction. So what this means is that maps them all. Is this true? We check, we pick an element in there. This is simply the restriction of this guy and the restriction. This guy. Now recall that the subobjects were defined in terms of the this Pre-Sheaf maps. So that each element in here got mapped an element to this guy by restriction. So what this means is that this does actually belong to this guy. And because of this definition, all the objects in here derive from restriction. And because this restriction is simply given by this R-map, what it follows is that this thing is actually the same, and it is indeed a subobject. Because all the guys in here are given terms of restriction, which you define it like this. So this is a well-defined subobject. So what we've shown is that not only this is a, this guy here is a well-defined map that represents physical quantities, but it's also a correct map to define values of physical quantities given a state. Because when you do apply to a state, you do get a subobject of this. And obviously, depending on what state you choose and what operator, it will represent the value of that operator given the state. But it's just that this all fits with this object, which are not exactly your usual real numbers, but it all fits. All right, just one very simple example. So the most trivial one is the eigenvalue. Can you, with all this construction, can you retrieve this? So assume we have a self-adjoint operator and a state is the eigen state with some eigenvalue A1. Then consider a context which contains the self-adjoint operator. Now, if it contains the self-adjoint operator, it will contain also the projection operator and the spectral decomposition. And in particular, because it's an eigenstate, it will also contain this guy. Because it will be the projection operator in the spectral decomposition, which is an eigenstate. Okay, so now we want to define this. So this is a pseudo state relative to this. Well, this is just a physical quantity. And we consider it at V. Now, because A is in V, then the inner and outer designation of this guy are simply itself. And moreover, because this, so the definition of all those elements in the spectrum which give value 1 to this guy. Okay. In V. But this guy is in V, so effectively there's going to be only one of this guy's, which is itself. You don't have to designize it, it's already in there. So what this means is that this guy will only have one element. So in here you have two. First dozenize your projection operator, and then pick the element that gives value 1 to this dozenized projection operator. However, because this projection operator is contained in B, there is no need to dozenize it. Get this. And because these are defined, once you pick this projection operator in V, then all is going to give 0 to all the rest. So you only have one element. Okay, so given all this, I told you this was kind of easy. So that's just to show that you can actually get the, for the context in which you have operators and you have eigenstate, then you do get the same thing. So this guy here now becomes. So let's make act on V. That is simply going to be. I'll write it fully. So you don't have to dozenize it, just A. So this is gives you exactly the same. And in fact, these two are the same. Say A. 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 So in the case that you have eigen by eigen state link, the interval, there's no interval, you just get one value, and you get exactly the same thing. So at least in the very simple case, we're doing the right thing. This thing reproduces standard stuff. Now, next time we'll see if it's not an eigenvalue, eigenstate situation, what is the interval that you get? We'll do that next. Is it getting a little bit more clear with this physical quantities?
Is there any notion of space-time already included here somehow, encoded here, or in
that's a good question. We don't yet have evolution. We have, there is a way to define unitary operators such that they can represent time evolution, but then you get something like but there is no, this is just the state space, and you can apply certain transformation of it, which you could label it with a T.
I think you explained already in one of the papers that the values of the observables are related, the fact that you're measuring over the reals has to do with the fact that the space-time in the background is related to the reals. You measure things on top of the space-time. So is there any information about the space-time already here because you're using real numbers?
I
guess you could be more restrictive and put field or other entity.
Other than the reals. The two things. So the non-restriction is given by this, the order reversing, order preserving. And it takes value in the reals. But the measurement thing, what you're referring to, that the act of measurement implies a fixed space-time, not the fact that you use reals. direct measurement. Then when we will see that you can define an analog of measurement through, well, at least an analog of probabilities through truth values, and that will not take values in the real time. But more is more, I don't know, a field. I don't know, maybe, it might be interesting, but then you, I don't know how you would recover any of this.
And I think if you just wanted to use an arbitrary field, you'd probably want a totally ordered field.
Yeah, you have to have some.
Yeah, you have to have some ordering.
Yeah. And I think there's a theorem that if you have a characteristic zero totally ordered field, then it's isomorphic to the reals. So if you have an infinite number of values and it's totally ordered, you've already implicitly.
As I said.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
But
it's still the role of the intervals where the eigenvalues lie is quite important here.
See,
the whole thing.
Yeah, that is why we chose this guy. I mean, there are other types of reals in the topos, but that just wouldn't, you can't, I mean, you wouldn't be able to do any physics, or at least have contact.
The fact that you use intervals is because when you do a measurement, you have an answer.
Yes.
Is it because of?
Yes. You have a range. You don't get to a precise range.
Isn't that a little bit experimental? Like, this is a quite theoretical cause you would put, like, I want to measure, I want to know the why this operator gives this eigenvalue, no, not this range of.
Oh. You want to know?
How does this?
Well, when you get eigenvalue, eigenstatement, you would get precise.
Yeah, you do. I mean, the whole thing is based on intervals.
See, how, yeah. The only time you would get something precise is if you coarse grain it such that then you do get something precise. So you could ask the question how far I am from being precise. And this far. So, well, it's kind of how would you have to prepare a system in order for it to give a certain thing. But now there's no preparation, it's just coarse grain. It's kind of a little bit detached from actual going in a Langevin measure. See what I mean? It's all about coarse grading. So, yeah, I don't know. In a lab, you would try and reformulate your question such that then you would get an answer. Coarse grading. By the time thing is a little bit of a problem here. I mean, there is some kind of evolution, but it's not very satisfactory, to be honest.
Yeah, it's bad when you define your basic things in terms of the finite sub-algebras, because if you just hit everything with a unitary, they're not fixed under.
Yeah, that's precisely the problem. You get twisted for sheep. That's exactly what happens. There you go. Yeah. Get twists all over the place.
That's not so nice.
Uh-uh. Yeah, because then you don't, like, you start with a state space and then you get something else. It's all twisted around. So yeah, that's precisely cool. If anyone knows how to fix that, that would be great.
Yeah.